showing the way. Slipping to Hollywood, he's hopping into Hollywood. He's on his way, he's going. Good afternoon and welcome to another exciting. What can I say? It's always an exciting time to be with How Bette Davis Saved My Life. I am Moya and I have with me my always faithful companion. And your name, ma'am, is?
I'm Georgia.
All right. So yes, it's the new year. It's our second podcast of How Bette Davis Saved My Life, Life Lessons from Classic Hollywood. And guys, we are ready to go today. We have a hot one for you. We have, oh my gosh, we've been chomping at the bit for a minute to do this one. The letter, you guys. We've been talking about we're going to do the letter, and we finally here. It took us a year to get to it, but we are ready to go. Starring none other than Bette Davis. And yes, you'll notice that we are doing back-to-back Bette. Our last podcast was Bette Davis in Dead Ringer. That was she in the 60s. And now it is she in all her glory. And I mean, just at the top of her game. She never was off her game. But The Letter from 1940. And this is a remake of Gene Eagles from 1929. And I think it was just Letter it was still The Letter. And Jean Eagles, Georgia, had you heard of her before? Jean Eagles? I only learned of her. Somebody did a movie about her. Was it Carol Baker or Kim Novak? I want to say it was Kim Novak did her movie, her life story. Like in the 60s or something. I think it was Kim Novak. Fans of the podcast, let me know if I'm not correct. And don't forget, we're on Facebook at How Bette Davis Saved My Life. So please subscribe. We're on all the platforms, Spotify. We are on iHeartRadio. On our Facebook page, we have Castos. So please subscribe. And we're also on Apple Music. So please subscribe to the podcast, but on Facebook is how we communicate. Let us know if it was Carol Baker or Kim Novak, but I really think it was Kim Novak did the Gene Eagles story. I had never heard of her before, but she did this originally in 1929. She and I believe the gentleman name, we've seen him before. These people were kind of famous in the past, Reginald Owen. Herbert Marshall was in the original, Georgia.
Oh.
He played the victim. He played the George Hammond. Jeffrey Hammond. So this was full circle for him. Cause Mr. Hammond, he was the victim, right?
He was
the lover. No, he was the lover.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I thought James. Okay, yeah, you're right. He was the lover.
Right. Soon to be victim. Okay. But yeah, so Jeffrey Hammond. So full circle, little trivia for you guys. So Herbert Marshall, he played Jeffrey Hammond. And again, it's the production is better. It's different. It's a more high quality. Please go look at the original and compare it to the 1940 with Bette Davis. This was written by one of my favorite authors of all time, W. Somerset Maugham. If you don't know who he is, we did The Razor's Edge earlier on in our podcast. So he wrote that and just many other great plays and what have you. So please make sure you check him out. But yeah, we're going to get started with the 1940 version of The Letter starring Miss Bette Davis. So, Georgia, why don't you start us off? Because we can't wait to get started. Tell us about The Letter.
All right. The setting of The Letter is on a plantation in Malaysia. And it starts on a very sultry moonlit night. This is a movie in which it has a very famous opening scene. and it was shot a total of 33 times. And the producer, Hal Wallace, took it home that evening, was given the task of picking which one of the 33 that he would go with. And you know what? He went with the first one. Anyway, by the time they finished filming the scene, and I'm not going to spoil it for you and tell you what's in the scene, but it's very, very famous. The way it comes out, it is an explosive beginning, which was meant to shock, it was meant to stun, and I think the director William Wyler does accomplish that. It's brilliant. This brilliant director really owns this movie, and he knows exactly how to direct Betty. And in setting up this story, what we know is that Betty, it plays, this is a delicious portrayal of a murderess. Okay. What we're looking at here is, does she get what's coming to her? Does she get away with it? Because the movie is named The Letter because a piece of incriminating evidence comes up, and we're going to see whether how Betty gets through this and what happens. This will grab you and take you on a roller coaster ride. This is suspenseful. It is a film noir. You see smart yet evil women portrayed in this movie. So watch for the wonderful, nuanced performances that you will see in this movie. The men, to me, are easily manipulated. So if you want that, I want you to watch for... not only is the cinematography really brilliantly done in this movie, but the music. You want to listen to the musical score by Max Steiner. Yes. She's wearing Ori Kelly gowns. You want to watch the body language of the women in this movie. Pay particular attention to the Gail Sondergaard character, Mrs. Hammond, in this movie. I want to just go ahead and set you up and let you know that this movie is, yes, about a crime. And it's loosely based on a true story. And so this is Betty Davis in one of her finest portrayals. And this movie was nominated for Best Picture, which it got. It was also nominated, it was William Wyler's third for Best Director, and Betty Davis's fifth nomination for Best Actress.
And she should have won every one she was nominated for, IMO, IMO.
Yes, but there's a little backstory here I need to tell you about. Betty Davis and William Wyler had an affair.
Mm-hmm.
So that was one of the reasons why she took so well to his direction. And, you know, she was quoted as saying something like, if he told her to jump into the Hudson River, she said, I'd do it. So with these things in mind, we bring you The Letter.
Oh, yes.
And it's full of action. Oh, and it's beautifully photographed.
Yes.
This is just a joy, a treat. This movie is a knockout. It's a stunner, and you'll see why.
Yes. Thank you, Georgia. As always, such a great job of doing a synopsis. And I just want to go back to what Georgia said. And of course, yes, the name of the full name of our podcast is How Betty Davis Saved My Life, Life Lessons from Classic Hollywood. And, you know, the whole theme or the whole reason behind this is because What can one learn from these great classic movies? And Georgia, I know you agree that the Letter is just abundant with so many life lessons. In the future, Georgia and I are going to do a series on how women destroy relationships. And before you get your panties in a bunch, honey, you know, yes, what about the men? You know, because look, every freaking movie you have the man doing something he ain't got no business, all right? So movies, television, other podcasts, you know, it's all over the media, men bad, women good. But I mean, you know, this movie, several other movies, you see these women destroying their lives, their families, their husbands for no good freaking reason. And there's just too many good movies out here that can really teach, that can learn women how to behave and get what you want and be happy, be satisfied. So I just want to say, I want to go back to, and so this is not a whodunit. Betty Davis's character, Leslie Crosby, she kills this man, Jeffrey Hammond. I want to keep calling him George. Jeffrey Hammond. He doesn't talk or anything in this movie. All you see him do is get killed, okay? But during the course of the movie, it comes, and we're not spoiling anything. You have to look at this movie. And like I said, don't go wash your hair. Don't talk on the phone. Don't text. Sit down and pay attention, okay? It comes out that these people were having an affair. So in the first part of the movie, everybody's trying to rally around Betty Davis's character, Leslie, and, you know, what happened, blah, blah, blah. And everybody's supportive and, you know, da, 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 da. And ladies, and men who look at this, please pay attention to how, and see, only Betty Davis, and I know we say this every podcast with her, only she could play this role, because Georgia, you said it, those damn moon mullet eyes she has, those big frying pan eyes, or whatever you want to call those big eyes. I mean, that woman, I've never seen a person act with his or her eyes like that. And so how she throws those gazes at everybody, and each gaze means something different. And so, Georgia, didn't you enjoy the interaction between she and the lawyer? They jousted. I don't think he believed. I'm going to just say, I thought he was crying BS as soon as he heard her damn story in the beginning stages of the story. What do you think?
Well, you know, I was so taken with the scenes that they had in this movie because the director would let them go. It went a full 8 minutes. There was no breaks, and it was just continuous dialogue where she is pleading her case and he's sizing her up, and you know he is reading her like a book.
Yes.
But what gets about Betty Davis is she can play this cool character.
Super cool.
But you know there is this manipulative, sinister, evil underneath, but she plays the right person. And it is just
amazing. It's scary. She was a sociopath. And no, I'm not a psychiatrist, but I don't know, you know, she might be a psychopath. I don't know. But I from my understanding, what a sociopath, she was cray cray, but not cray cray, she, like you said, diabolical and highly manipulative. Damn, she was manipulative.
Yes. And she's so, but here's, I'm going to set something off when I say this word. She's plays a very entitled and privileged kind of a person, which is part of this whole veneer for character. You know, I mean, it's not good enough for her that she's got this wonderful life living on this plantation with the husband who's so loving and
he worships her. Yes.
Yeah, and then what is she? Well, she's bored, and so what does she do? So yeah, she
has an affair.
Yeah.
I mean, oh, Laura, go ahead.
So, Betty Davis was faced with William Wyler saying, you know, I want to rewrite some of your lines because you're such an unsympathetic character. She said, don't you alter a thing. Don't you change these lines.
Right.
I need to play it this way.
That's
right. Thank goodness he listened to her.
Yes. Yes. Look, and again, ladies, specifically, and gentlemen, you're in a relationship, before you even get in a relationship, but it's just, you know, before you get married, let's just say this, but you know, if you're married or you're in a relationship, there needs to be signs. Look, I'm not gonna lie, Herbert Marshall's character was always at the damn rubber plant, like we say, where it's in Malaysia. So, you know, he's preoccupied. She's bored, she had nothing to do, you know, she's a housewife. But even if you are a 9-to-5 woman, you can, because Georgia, what you said, you are entitled. What about my happiness? What about my feelings? It had nothing to do that she literally had nothing to do except knit. You'll see that her and that crocheting, and that plays a big part in this movie, her crocheting. But you said it, when you feel that your happiness is connected to some other person's ability to concoct this world for you, you are heading for a dark path. And we see it in this movie. And that lawyer wasn't having it. You know, he was a lawyer and he was loyal to his client, but the more she talked, he was like, mm-mm. You know, and then the letter comes into play. And so Georgia, the scene where he really calls BS, and again, I don't know who won, Georgia, maybe one of us could look it up, or audience, you know, if you know who won that year, and if before we get off our podcast, I'll try to look. I don't know who beat Bette Davis that year for the letter. But that scene where she's gotten arrested and she and a lawyer are talking, the lawyer presents a copy of the letter and she denies it. But then the point, they're sitting down and he's looking her dead in the eye. It's a stare off. And when she lies, I'm not even going to say what she denies, that she didn't write the letter. And the acting is so superb, because once she thinks, she gets that lie out of her mouth, she thinks the lawyer has accepted it, or she's not even waiting to see that he's accepted it. And again, the body language, and then she comes clean. I mean, I'm scared of people like this, George. I don't know about you. These type of people frighten me. They really do.
He's scary. And it, like, this is before she did all the things like the nanny and whatever happened.
Right, right.
It can be so scary.
Oh, it was because there are people like this who are master manipulators who lie to you. And so let's go back to Herbert Marshall, the saintly husband. You know, I'm not going to say this term. I was going to say it, but because I think it's a little mean, I would be picking on him. But he loved his wife, and he was the perfect husband, wasn't he, Georgia? He was absolutely perfect.
God. Yeah, there's one there says, you know, when you truly love somebody, you'll forgive them anything, you know?
Yeah.
You know, I just wanted to just pat him on the back and say, man, you know, you deserve a lot better than what you got.
Right. And so we're leaving out, there's what the fourth party, if you will. So the wife played by Gail Sundergaard. So this is Malaysia. And of course, this is during colonialism, imperialism. So there's a lot of racism and what have you. And Bette Davis is really nasty, says some really racist and nasty things. The character, Leslie, says some really horrible things and such about this lady. But Gail Sundergaard and the other Chung Hee, played by Willie Fung, the great, I'm not going to say it's right. Ong Chi Sing, played by Victor Sin Young. He was the attorney's assistant and the confidant to Gail Sundergaard's character, the wife. So Georgia, did you see the juxtaposition of when Betty's coolness had to go up against Gail Sundergaard, the wife's coolness? And they played a psychological game of chicken, and Bette Davis damn sure lost, okay? In my opinion, she lost that game of chicken.
Oh my God. This performance by Gail Sundergaard playing the wife, Mrs. Hammond, if you look, with very few words, she is seething with anger towards this woman. You've got to see this. It's brilliant.
Yes.
The very few times I think you will ever see Betty Davis actually upstaged.
She yes.
Really, she really steals it. In this particular scene, she does.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Beautifully done here. You can't miss.
I mean, it's just, there's so much in here. And, you know, like Georgia said in the beginning, how with the relationships between the men and women, because there's another relationship between the lawyer and his wife that's juxtaposed between Betty Davis and Herbert Marshall, but the Crosbys. The lawyer and his wife. Look, the lawyer is the law. You know, this is one of the few movies, Georgia, if you look at it, where the men are the victims. The men are the heroes in a relationship movie. They're the bad guys. This is one of the few where that's not the case, right?
I agree with you. I agree. I mean, this is where the women call the shots in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
And the men are.
Right.
Well. Men are controlled in this movie. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there's a scene in this movie where Betty Davis, for many years, was in kind of a complete disagreement with the director, William Wyler. I think it was the only time she ever walked off the stage, but I want y'all to watch with particular interest the scene where her husband, played by Herbert Marshall, confronts her.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, she makes this confession to her husband and says, "With all my heart, I still love the man I killed."
Mm-hmm.
And so as if that wasn't enough, Betty Davis said, "No woman who really felt that way could look her husband right in the eyes and say that to him."
Mm-hmm.
And William Wyler said, "Yes, you are going to play it that way. You are going to say it like that. You will do it." So she did. She gave in to him. The only time she ever walked off from William Wyler, she played it the way he told her to. Many, many, many years later, I think it was like maybe 35 or many years later, some award ceremony, he was there and Betty was in the audience. He said, "You know, if Betty right now, if you gave her the chance this minute, would she replay that over again?" And they panned the camera to her and she goes, "Yes, yes, you would do it my way. Yes, yes." So, I will let y'all, when you see this scene, you make up your minds for yourselves.
Yeah.
Was Betty right? Should she not have looked her husband in the eyes, or was William Wyler, the director, right in the way he made her portray that?
Right.
But that's one of the key or most pivotal role. It tells you so much about Betty and what a devastating
yes.
blow to Herbert Marshall this must have been for her to make that confession.
Like the men were the victim physically and mentally. And I love how you brought that out. The women were empowered. And this is post code. This is post pre-code.
Yes.
And so, and you, like you were saying before when we were preparing for today's podcast, there was a lot of controversy and there was a lot of, you know, things that they didn't want in this movie, the adultery and
exactly.
all the good stuff.
You're exactly right. They didn't want the adultery. They didn't want there was the murder.
Right.
About somebody, you know, what the criminal avoiding the criminal justice system.
Right. Right.
There were so many things in it. There was like, greed and all kinds of things going on in this movie. And so the Hayes office had a lot of problems with this movie.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so keep that in mind, because this movie was really ahead of its time.
It was. Oh, my gosh.
Adult murderesses in movies.
Oh, yeah. And if you saw it, like when you had pre-code or any other, you know, she had to kill this person, or she had to commit adultery because of the guy, you know. No, this woman, Leslie Crosby, Betty Davis, was a horrible, wicked, evil ass woman. Evil, entitled, privileged, evil, just, oh, she was. And it's a wonderful, you can't, and you know, as I looked at this, Georgia, you can't redo Betty Davis movies. Like, you know, somebody did redid Leave It or Heaven with Jean Tierney, and hopefully we get to that, because she played another that she was almost cursed. That woman was a psych. She was a psychopath. I don't even know if she was a sociopath. Jean Tierney. I don't know my past, so if somebody's a doctor on here, but she was unreal. You're right. They were so ahead of themselves with this movie, and I'm just shocked. But they redid Leave Her to Heaven, I think, with Lonnie Anderson and somebody else. And I mean, you can look at it if you want, but you cannot redo these Bette Davis movies because no one. I'll say Meryl Streep, you know, because of course she is she was a huge student of Bette Davis. She admits that. Maybe someone like that, and I can't think of anybody else off the top of my head. And I'm pretty sure there's other actresses out, people we don't probably even know of. But she, you know, that's what we love about Betty. You said she became the character. I mean, yeah, but there's one thing to become the character, and there's another one to draw the audience in, hold your attention, make you feel some kind of way, leave the movie, still think about it, then look at your own life. So it took her, Somerset Maugham, and Wilder to do this, to make this movie so just stand a test of time and be so substantial.
You know, that's what I love about Bette Davis, because she was so fearless about taking on very complicated, unsympathetic characters.
Yes.
And you know, one of the things about Bette Davis in real life that I liked about her was on the set of this movie, James Stevenson, who played the lawyer, he had many times differences of opinion with William Wyler. They did not get along. And she would go after him, and she would talk to him and bring him back. She'd convince him, come on, you know, you can do this, work with us. But you know, it's kind of a sad note for me is James Stevenson, I mean, he did get the Academy Award, I believe, for playing his role.
Yes, he did.
And you know, something so amazing about it is that about only a month after the movie was released, he died suddenly of a heart attack, and he was only 53.
Oh, my gosh.
So we were robbed of future performances from this man.
Wow.
He played a
wonderful
part, a role in this movie.
Yeah, he was the heart of the movie. Yeah.
Yeah, he was.
He did not win. He didn't win. I'm sorry, Georgia. He didn't win. Walter Brennan won that year for The Westerner. But yes, he was nominated.
Okay, Walter Brennan then. But you know, I in my real job, I work with attorneys, but you know, what a conflict he was faced with, an ethical and moral dilemma.
Yes.
And is faced with, and you'll get to see that. That's another kind of side
right
thing that's going on in this movie that you I think really makes it for a very rich there's so much going on, you know.
Yeah, he gave lawyers a good name for once.
Yeah. Yes, he did, really.
And on just a little bit more trivia, and I knew there was something about the Academy Awards with this damn movie. Ginger Rogers won for Kitty Frickin' Foyle. And that's why I cannot stand Ginger Rogers till this day. look who were the nominees, Georgia. Bette Davis for The Letter, Joan Fontaine for Rebecca, Katharine Hepburn, The Philadelphia Story, and Martha Scott for Our Town. How in the world? Who did Ginger Rogers screw to get that damn Oscar for Kitty Frick? And I saw Kitty Foyle. I'm going to tell you, she got the Oscar because this was her best performance not being Ginger Rogers. That's why she got the Oscar. Because there is no, if you did this over, hell no. Is it either going to be Betty or Rebecca, or Joan Fontaine for Rebecca? Katharine Hepburn, I've seen better performances, but no way. Well, again, this was her first and last Oscar, her first and last nomination, talking about Ginger Rogers, and you know why. Okay, now let's move on. We out of the shade room.
Okay.
George's like, oh, wow, my.
I gotta agree with you. Betty was robbed.
She was robbed so many times. We should do a podcast, How Bette Davis Was Robbed. We might do do a whole separate deal or something like that. We are running out of time, Georgia. Is there anything else left to say before we conclude?
Let's see. You know, they gave it this noirish feel, and you know the shadowy stuff that they did. They actually had these like shadows painted on the floor to give
that effect.
I mean, there was some dedication made to getting just the right feel and the right setting and the ambiance, the whole mood and everything going on.
Wow.
Let me tell you, one of the things I want you to watch is at the very beginning of this movie, the moon plays a very prominent scene.
Yes.
Watch the very final scene. It's the moon again. And what happens under that moon?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so be watching for that.
Yes, please. Excellent cinematography by the whoever did it. Perfect. Anything else before we get on out of here?
No, sweetie, I think that's kind of a wrap for me.
Well, yeah, we're going to stop because, you know, the more we talk, you know, we never want to give it away. So again, don't forget we're on Facebook at How Bette Davis Saved My Life. And again, this is How Bette Davis Saved My Life, Life Lessons from Classic Hollywood. We hope you enjoyed it. Please subscribe. Please contact us via the comments. Keep it clean. Keep it mature. Okay? We don't have to block you, but but we will. So, I am Moya. And for Georgia, we want to say thank you again for tuning in to How Bette Davis Saved My Life, Life Lessons from Classic Hollywood. See you next time.